You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Freddie and Harry podcast on ESPN Radio.
That one counted. This is Freddie and Harry on ESPN Radio. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Amber Wilson, Jonathan Zaslow, former NFL Pro Bowler Chad Brown, kind enough to join us as well. We are going to do, guys, plenty of NFL draft talk. Obviously, we are taking you up to the NFL draft coverage right here on ESPN Radio. It is a very, very big day for the NFL, but we have to have our moment, Zaz.
Yes.
We have to have our moment. And Chad, I don't know if you knew what you were signing up for. You having to do this show on this day coming off of that improbable
Heat
victory with two Miamians.
This Heat postgame show right here, Chad.
I got a sense when we were doing the pre-show call that this was going to be the case today. So enjoy yourselves. Have at it. Gloat. Have fun, you Miami
what
Heaters.
Night. What a night. That was for the culture last night, Amber. How you love that? That was amazing last night.
That was the culture. That was the culture on display to the tune of 23 triples. They attempted 43 threes last night. They made 23 of them.
That's right.
They had a 53.5 percentage there in terms of field goals. Unbelievable win. Gutsy win, Jonathan Zaslow.
That's what that Heat culture is
about. That thing.
You know when you knew that it was going to go the Heat's way? When the captain, Udonis Haslem, he flew his way up there to Boston and he gave the pregame game two speech. That's when you knew that they were about that business last night. And they came out, all that talk about code red and booing Caleb Martin every time he touched the ball in that first quarter. Guess what? That booing, that turned to silence real quick with Caleb Martin dropping five threes in the TD Garden last night. They may as well call that place Miami Garden. That's right. We won game 7 in their house. That's for life. They won last night. That's embarrassing. Amber, Joe Mazzulla, Chad, you too. Joe Mazzulla after the game talking about how there are ups and downs in the NBA playoffs. You're the number one seed. You just lost game 2 at home to the number 8. Ups and downs in the playoffs. That's an embarrassment. Okay,
you too. You too.
I blacked out for a second. I'm sorry.
I could tell. Did you guys not know that Eric Spoelstra is 10-3? After losing game 1 and getting wins in game 2, 10-3.
Right.
So, come on, you guys should have had a little bit more confidence with all this little blacking out that just happened right there. You should have expected this kind of victory.
I did have confidence. Called the reverse jinx there, Chad, yesterday. I was playing it cool yesterday.
That's what was happening. We were playing it cool yesterday.
Gotcha.
We didn't want to jinx anything. We didn't want to tip Boston off. You know, they've been riding high all season long. They're the best team at home all throughout the regular season. Everybody had them as hands down the best team in the NBA the entire season. And now here we are in a postseason. We didn't want to remind Boston, this Miami Heat team, it's the hardest working, Zaslow. It's the best conditioned. It's the most professional. It's unselfish. The toughest. The meanest.
The nastiest
team.
Most disliked
team. The entire NBA.
That's right. Proving that again last night. That was such... The Heat punked them so hard last night. There's no other way to put it. I'm sorry. There is no other way.
Now, some people would say how the mighty have fallen because we are a team that was in the NBA Finals last season, right? And here we are parading around a victory in round one, an A victory in round one of the NBA playoffs.
Well, because it's on now, Amber. It is on. All right. It is on.
Well, not only is it on now, although I'd feel a lot better about it being on if we had Jimmy Butler and Scary Terry. Regardless, not only is it theoretically on now, and how funny would it be if Boston ended up losing the series, but also it's on because it felt like it was us against the world once again, Jonathan Zaslow.
Right.
After game one, all I'm hearing, even from our colleagues here at ESPN, is the old tired nonsense of the crowd and they're late and they're not there. And blah, 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 blah. We all need to get some new material when we're talking about Miami.
You know what she's saying, Chad. You know what she's talking about, Chad.
But
you get
this Kendrick Perkins. And I love Big Perk, but this Kendrick Perkins had the audacity.
That's right.
To go on our airwaves, our sacred airwaves here at ESPN. And he said that if the Miami Heat shot 100%, 100% from the floor, they still wouldn't beat the Boston Celtics. It took a lot less than that. Here is Kendrick Perkins eating his words last night on X.
Every single time, man, every single time, I started to put a little bit of trust, a little trust in the Boston Celtics. And here we go again. The brooms. Think about the brooms. This was supposed to be a sweep. Y'all a far better team. No Jimmy Butler, no Terry Rozier. But damn it, here my big dumb ass go again. Knowing I know better. Knowing that Eric Spoelstra and Joe Mazzulla is a damn matchup. Eric Spoelstra had them boys ready to go, and they showed out in great fashion. Look, Celtics, man, why can't y'all do right? I'm not saying y'all not going to win the series, but damn.
That's a good job out of Perk. Sometimes you got to fess up. That's a good job out of Perk.
Yeah, well, he was getting killed. He was getting crushed by all of Miami last night, as he deserved, deservedly so. And once again, the Miami Celtics, they are the Miami Celtics because you know what? We own them, and we own that house up there in
Boston.
That's
our building, Chad. That's
the
our building.
Boston Celtics, once again, they're having troubles with this Miami Heat team, a very extremely shorthanded Miami Heat team when they have an incredibly improved roster even over last season. But that's not the main thing, guys. We had our fun. The main thing tonight is the NFL draft. Let's get to the main thing.
The main thing, 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 the main thing.
The main thing with Freddie and Harry.
And Jonathan Zaslow, Chad Brown, and Amber Wilson filling in for the guy. Sorry, Zaz, the main thing is not actually the Heat's win last night. It's not the Florida Panthers either, Zaz. Sorry about that. What is the main thing is that the NFL draft is tonight. Our coverage here on ESPN Radio starts at 7 p.m. Eastern across your ESPN Radio stations and, of course, on Sirius XM Channel 80. And we are going to be getting you ready here on Freddie and Harry all afternoon long for this NFL draft. What is the biggest question, Chad, as we head into the 2024 NFL draft?
It has to be what the Patriots are going to do at that number three pick. It seems like Caleb Williams is a slam dunk to go Chicago Bears with number one. Jaden Daniels will be the number two pick to the Washington Commanders. And after that, that's where the questions start happening. Our team's going to be trying to trade up to number three. Do the Patriots actually draft a quarterback? So the domino effect that will occur based on what the Patriots do is going to inform the next 15 picks in the draft and possibly three or four trade possibilities coming off what happens when the Patriots do whatever they do with pick number three.
You know, I know there's a lot of, I guess some intrigue has been taken out of this draft, right, Amber, where we know who the number one pick's going to be, but just like Chad is saying there with New England, the number three spot, and you know, are they going to move out or will someone move in? I think there's still a ton of intrigue at the top of this draft, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Not knowing what they're going to do, not even knowing what the Commanders are doing at pick two. Like, yes, this draft doesn't really start until Washington makes their pick because we all know Caleb is going number one to the Bears. Fine.
They better not take 10 minutes. I mean,
from
10 two, full minutes,
they're
going
to take the they're going to take the whole darn time. It's come ridiculous on. The way these NFL teams operate.
And Chad, how do they not have that pick ready? I mean, we've got to wait 10 minutes.
They want their logo up there? What are we doing? They know who they're drafting.
I am with you, Jonathan. When we know who that's going to
let's
be,
go.
Let's just go. Let's not play the game. Let's not waste our time. Let's get this thing moving as quickly as possible. Now, this is better with the 10-minute format rather than the old 15-minute format.
Yeah.
So this is even better now. But for, if you are the Chicago Bears, immediately as soon as Roger Goodell opens the draft, within 30 seconds, I need him walking back on stage to announce.
Here's the thing. I know there's this idea of, okay, the Bears aren't going to make the pick right away because you like having your logo up there for 10 full minutes. You like
because
having
nobody knows who you are, by the way, unless your logo is up there for 10.
Right.
Otherwise, we have no idea the Chicago Bears are any of these other 32.
Yeah.
We have no idea unless we see your logo for 10 straight minutes in the first round.
Right. It's not like you haven't been in the NFL for 100 years, okay? But and you want the analysts to talk about you and your team for a full 10 minutes. But I'm being dead serious when I say this. Doesn't it make a statement, if you're the Chicago Bears, doesn't it make a statement as to how strong you feel about Caleb Williams if in the first 30 seconds you go up there and you hand in the call? Like, yeah, We don't need to wait for anything. We can't wait to select this guy. We've been waiting for months now, and we don't need 10 more minutes. We want to pick him right now. Doesn't that make a statement as to how much they believe in Caleb Williams rather than sitting there and waiting 10 minutes?
I mean, the statement was made when they only brought in one quarterback. That was it. They weren't one of these teams that was bringing in a bunch of guys, or what was it, the Commanders that brought in like everybody and then they took them all to Top Golf. That's not at all what the Chicago was doing in this scenario. They just brought in Caleb Williams. That's the statement. They're drafting Caleb Williams. Let's just get to it, Chad.
Yeah, they drafted him number one. So I don't think there's more of a bigger statement than that could be possibly made. But to your point, Jonathan, as a viewer, rather than hearing the pontificators pontificate for 10 more minutes, which this is the ultimate pontification season before the draft where we all give out our supposed thoughts and what could happen, all the possibilities. We know this is going to happen. Just get it done so we can move on and get to some of the more intriguing parts of the draft that actually have us on the edge of our seats, and we can't wait to hear what happens next.
And Chad mentioned that one of those most intriguing teams is the New England Patriots. And I tend to agree with you, Chad, because the Patriots said they're open for business. So, yes, we all know the Patriots need a quarterback, and they're going to be a team that we expect to take a quarterback. That doesn't necessarily mean that they have to take a top three quarterback in this draft. Heck, they don't have to take a top five quarterback in this draft, but they also could accomplish that by trading back a couple spots. So there's a lot of options here for a New England team that has holes all over the place. Are they going to trade back? Are they going to stay put? If they stay put, which of those quarterbacks were they most interested in? They've been linked a lot to Drake May. McCarthy, could he be a target for them? Or could they be in a situation where they like Michael Penix Jr. and they're willing to go backwards, or Bo Nix, or maybe, heck, they're going to end up in a second or third round taking a Spencer Rattler and addressing a whole bunch of other needs that none of us saw coming. So, Chad, to your point, this is a team that I don't know if I believe it, frankly. I still kind of think the Pats are going to end up staying put, but them saying they're open for business has made them much more interesting than I think we would have otherwise thought they were.
The fact that they have Jacoby Brissett, who's won games with a couple different organizations, won games for the Patriots in the past. So to see them possibly kick that can down the road a bit, whether it's moving back in the draft and getting a quarterback later, or just deciding, to your point, maybe Spencer Rattler could be a quarterback of the future with some seasoning. The Patriots have so many holes. They could fill those holes with lots of draft capital by moving out of that number three pick. Or do they start the Jonathan Mayo of the Gerard Mayo era with a quarterback and get that coach quarterback relationship started here in year one? It's going to be very intriguing. That's again, to me, the biggest question going into today's draft.
Biggest question for me going into today's draft: which team is going to have the guts to move up to get a quarterback? And not even necessarily the guts. You got to have some guts to trade big time draft capital to move up at the top of the draft. Your job's on the line if you make a move like that. Which team is going to have the guts to make a move into the top five, but really into the top three? Because I think, you know, I think if you're going to trade draft capital to get into the top five, meaning that fifth pick with the Chargers to get a quarterback, I don't think you want to settle. I don't think you want to take the, you know, the compensation. You know, essentially, you got the top three guys that go 1, 2, 3, and you're going to take the fourth best quarterback. Like, I don't think you want to settle. So I really think it's about getting into that top three, presumably the Patriots pick at number three, and getting a quarterback. Like, do the Giants have the guts to move up three picks, even with Daniel Jones still on the roster and still paying him? Do the Vikings have the guts? You got the whole situation with Jefferson. Do they have the guts to package their two first-round picks and likely more first-round picks as well if they're going to move all the way up to number three? Do they have the guts? Because if you're going to pay Jefferson, you better get someone who's going to throw him the football, all right? So do they have the guts to do it? Maybe
it's saying you don't like Sam Darnold? Is that what I'm hearing from you, Jonathan? You're not a Sam
I don't Darnold have lover? To say it. I don't have to say it, Chad. Everybody knows this. I don't have to say it. And then you got with the Raiders at number 13. Hey, maybe the Raiders want to trade up. You know, I understand Gardner Minshew. You know, he's a lot of fun, but you're not winning playoff games with Gardner Minshew. So I look at those teams, Giants, Vikings, Raiders. Do any of them have the guts to make New England an offer they can't refuse?
But also, we don't know if New England's going to take the offer. Like, they can be saying that they're open for business, and also maybe they just enjoy getting offers and they're not actually serious about taking any of them, because the reality
is they
need a quarterback.
Time.
Well, they very well might enjoy wasting everybody's time. Why not consider your options. Zaslow, right? You look at the whole thing. There's other fish in the sea. You know it. You take a look-see, okay, before you choose which one to settle down with. But you've already got your eye on one. You've already been evaluating one. One has already stood out above the rest. And if you need to be at three to get that one, you're probably going to end up staying at three to get that one, Chad. That's the reality.
Yeah, again, but they've got Jacoby Brissett, who's won football games in the NFL. And I don't think anyone's expecting the Patriots to make a deep postseason run next year. So this quarterback pick can some ways be kicked down the road a bit, whether it's later in the draft or even to next year. They could get by this season with Jacoby Brissett and possibly get themselves a wild card berth with the additional playoff team this year. So the Patriots, I think we just don't know. Obviously, the Kraft family has a tremendous amount of respect for Tom Brady and what he accomplished there. Would they love to get that kind of relationship going with another quarterback? I think they would. But they also recognize there's just so many holes on this roster to fill. I just don't know what they're going to do. So I think for them, to your point, Amber, let's listen to the offers. Let's see what's possible. Let's see who's desperate enough or maybe who's foolish enough to offer us a king's ransom to get to this pick, and we can still get our quarterback maybe later in the draft.
You know, what you're saying, Chad, makes sense as far as New England goes, but I think it's a massive mistake if New England moves out of that spot because, look, New England was terrible this year, and even being terrible, they landed the number three pick, not number one overall, not number two overall. It got them the number three pick in a year they were terrible, and they're lucky that this is a year where it happens to be a quarterback-heavy draft. If they're terrible again next year, you know, let's say, okay, they got other areas to fill. We'll tread water right now with Jacoby Brissett, and if things go awry, we'll be right back at the top of the draft next year, and we could take a quarterback. All right, if they're terrible again, they could land the number three overall pick again. And it may not be a quarterback-rich draft. And then you missed your opportunity. Like, I think it's really hard to acquire the number one overall pick in the draft. You have to be so bad. And the Patriots were so bad this year, and there's still two teams selecting ahead of them.
Or you just have to have the Panthers pick and let them be so bad. That seems to work well as well.
Yeah, I mean, but it could have been the Panthers, all, you know, whatever it was. It was still New England at number three.
I like the idea of New England trading back. If I'm New England, I'm seriously considering it because, as Chad mentioned, they have so many holes. And although I'm not a big Brissett fan and I don't think he's a long-term solution there, obviously you do have a short-term plan. I think that they're taking a quarterback no matter what. That doesn't mean that they can't trade back, even if it's just a few spots in this draft, and still address the quarterback position. The reality is, chances are, the dude you draft at the quarterback position ain't panning out.
Gosh,
Chances are, statistically speaking, that dude is not winning you a Super Bowl anyway. So if you have a ton of needs and you can address them and get a ton of draft capital, I mean, you would have to swing. The quarterback that goes number three has to end up being so unbelievably good for there to be future criticism of that move that I think it's a risk that's fine and worth taking, frankly. We're not talking about we're not talking about giving up the number one overall pick. We're talking about trading back from three.
We've got 4 hours here. And I know we're going to dive into a lot of these things. Does the NFL do a good job developing quarterbacks? Is drafting a quarterback is one of the riskiest propositions in all of professional sports. So would you be better off, if you're the Patriots, by shoring up the rest of your roster so no matter when you get this quarterback, whenever he may come to you, next year, 2 years from now, later in this draft, Spencer Rattler in the second or third round, whenever this quarterback comes, wouldn't you be better off organizationally by having so many of those pieces in place so that guy can excel from day one and you give him a better chance for success? We just seen what happened with the 2021 draft class. Those five quarterbacks drafted, four of them have already been traded to their second team. Only Trevor Lawrence is still with his original team. So when we're expecting to pick up the franchise savior with the third pick in the draft, that doesn't make it automatic, but you can give yourself a better chance for success by moving back, shoring up the rest of your roster so you don't ask too much of this kid who just 6 months ago was worried about what he was going to wear to his date's sorority party. It's a big
he's still
ask.
Worried about what he's wearing tonight to this
yes,
thing tonight.
Because
we know that we are going to see some serious fashion tonight. They were already on SportsCenter with some of these top draft prospects showing their fit for tonight. So that's going to be a big thing. We are taking you up to all that NFL draft coverage right here on ESPN Radio. 7 p.m. Eastern is when that starts. But we're hanging out for the next few hours. Chad Brown, Jonathan Zaslow, Amber Wilson with you here on Freddie and Harry. Coming up next, we're going to open up the phone lines to you because we want to hear from you. Who was the NFL draft pick that you were most angry about for your team? 888-SAY-ESPN. Also, could this team jump into the top five and draft a quarterback? And no, we are not actually talking about the Minnesota Vikings. That's next here on ESPN Radio.
The Freddie and Harry Podcast.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
It is draft day. Johnny Manziel did just get Reggie Bush's Heisman back, so there's that. But it's draft day. We are taking you up to the coverage of the NFL draft here on Freddie and Harry. 7 p.m. Eastern, that starts. Amber Wilson, Jonathan Zaslow, Chad Brown filling in for the guys. We're also going to get to your phone calls in just minutes. Who was the NFL pick, draft pick, that you were most angry about at the time that your team made it? We will get to your calls. If you are on hold, stay with me. I promise we'll get to you. 888-SAY-ESPN. But first, we got to go out to Denver. Zach Bye, co-host of The Drive on 104.3 in Denver, kind enough to join us. And Zach, thanks for your time. The Broncos, they've got the 12th pick, no second round pick in this draft, 8 total picks in this draft. Let's start, though, at 12. Are they going quarterback?
I think they have to go quarterback. And if they don't, and let's just say, and guys, thanks for having me on. If they don't, let's just game theory that out. Say they pass on a quarterback because they don't love any of the, you know, fourth or fifth quarterback taken, or maybe it's even fifth or sixth by that point, and then they go with a mid-round quarterback, you are looking at a quarterback room in Denver of Jarrett Stidham, Zach Wilson, and, say, Spencer Rattler going into the 2024 season, which would be unequivocally the worst quarterback room in the National Football League. They have got to walk away from that first round with a quarterback, and if I had to guess, and it is just speculation, I believe that Sean Payton will move up the draft board into the top five. We're talking about a guy whose just nature as a coach is aggressive. A guy who went for an onside kick in the Super Bowl. A guy who went for an onside kick in the first play of his first game with the Denver Broncos. And he also has been burned in the past. We all know the story. He loved that quarterback coming out of Texas Tech so much that they sat down with Drew Brees and said, hey, pal, we're going to draft this guy named Patrick Mahomes. And Andy Reid jumped them with Buffalo, drafted Mahomes, and that has been stuck in his craw since then. And I believe if he loves a quarterback, and I do believe he does, and if I had a hunch, it'd be J.J. McCarthy, I think he moves up for J.J. McCarthy in the top five.
All right, Zach, my man, good to talk to you on these airwaves. The Broncos have had 13 quarterbacks under center since Peyton Manning. 13! Wow. Not one of those panned out. 13 quarterbacks. Now they're coming off this Russell Wilson experiment where they got the largest dead cap hit in NFL history, where they gave up all that draft capital for Russell Wilson. Now, Sean Payton has talked about he's smarter than everyone else in the NFL as far as evaluating quarterbacks. How much trust do you have in Sean Payton and George Payton to actually get this one correct after the organization has gone 0-13 since Peyton Manning?
Well, it's a great question, Dad. It's great to talk with you. I hope everyone in Bristol understands what a Colorado legend Chad Brown is. But to answer your question, there's no track record here, Chad. I'll actually steal a phrase from Sean Payton himself. His phrase that he'll use is a Bill Parcells phrase. He says, confidence comes from demonstrated ability. That's substance. That's history. That's tangible to draw from and say, hey, we've seen him do this before, therefore we're confident that he can do it again. Sean Payton, in his 17 years coaching in the NFL, has started a rookie quarterback a combined one game, and that was during COVID when he started a kid from Notre Dame, and he had to pull him up from the practice squad. He has never drafted a quarterback and developed him. George Payton, general manager, has only struck out at the position and has taken the biggest swing in the history of the Denver Broncos in all that he mortgaged for the Russell Wilson trade. So I'd like to say that I have confidence. Unfortunately, I don't have the substance to draw from that is actual confidence, so it's based more off faith. And faith, the definition, is based on things unseen. We have not seen it, Chad. So that doesn't mean it can't happen, all right? I just can't say genuinely that I have supreme confidence that they'll get this right because, as you've laid out, they've only got it wrong.
Zach, if they were to move up, if the Broncos were to move up into the top five from 12, they don't have a second-round pick. What would they presumably have to give up?
If they want to move up into the top five, I'm pretty fairly certain it's going to take the 12th overall pick this year. It's going to take next year's first-round pick and either Pat Surtain or a third first-round pick. We have recent history to draw from with the Trey Lance package. It's a hefty price to move from 12 to, let's say, 4 with Arizona. So then Broncos have a decision to make. You know, do you want to part with two future first-round picks in addition to the 12th overall pick? Or do you want to give away your best football player, who is Pat Surtain? There's no other qualified player to be a part of that conversation. That's why the Broncos are a bad team. They have one supremely good player, and it's Pat Surtain. Problem is, he plays cornerback, okay? And cornerback, much like receiver, is a dependent position. Teams can just go the opposite side of the field. If you don't have a pass rush, you're not going to be as effective as you would with one. So Pat Surtain has been great. He's been in the fold here for 3 years. He's an all-pro, and he and I have the same amount of winning seasons as a Bronco. So they have a decision to make. Do we want to mortgage our future after we've already done that with the Russell Wilson trade? And it wasn't just the Russell Wilson trade, guys. They traded a first-round pick for Sean Payton. So the Broncos are back in the first round for the first time in years since they drafted Pat Surtain. So it's quite a conundrum what they're going to do. Is it 3 first-round picks, or is it 2 first-round picks and a player? If I had to guess, it's 2 first-round picks and Pat Surtain because of the cap hell in the Russell Wilson trade that Chad referenced just moments ago. Pat Surtain's looking for a contract, and it will be a record-setting contract. And I think they will probably just move on from Pat Surtain, if I had to guess. Again, I'm just speculating.
Zach Bye, co-host of The Drive on 104.3 in Denver, joining us here on Freddie and Harry. Zaslow, Chad Brown, Amber Wilson filling in for the guys. Why make the Zach Wilson trade? Why make that move, Zach, if they are then going to potentially go mortgage their future to trade all the way up for J.J. McCarthy?
It's a fantastic question, and my answer would be, you don't know if your guy is going to be there at 4. We still don't know if the New England Patriots are going to draft J.J. McCarthy. And if that happens, maybe that alters the Broncos' plans, and they say, well, now we're not moving up. We weren't just moving up to move up. We were moving up for a specific guy. He's no longer there. And if that happens, you need another plan, like a plan B or even plan C, if that human being that they want isn't there in the top five. And I just think it better prepares them in that scenario. And I will say this. Sean Payton was at the Super Bowl doing a million interviews, and he was asked a random question, and he said, the question was, what quarterback do you think is hated on in the NFL the most unfairly? And his answer was Zach Wilson. So he must have really had a good evaluation on him coming out of BYU. And now, don't forget, Sean Payton got himself in headlines last summer by saying Nathaniel Hackett was the worst coaching job in NFL history last year for the Broncos, the 2022 Broncos. And who was coaching Zach Wilson this past year? It was Nathaniel Hackett. So I think he had a good evaluation on Wilson, thought he was in a toxic situation, which it was in New York. Terrible. They've never been able to figure it out. And I think that Sean Payton thinks that he could be the guy to save Wilson's career. So again, right now on paper, as I said at the start, it would probably be the worst quarterback room on paper if they don't walk away from the first round with a quarterback. But Sean Payton is an unusual cat, you guys. He's got rare confidence, moxie, and even arrogance in his own coaching abilities.
All right, Zach, clearly it's draft day, leading off the segment with you talking about the NFL draft. But the Nuggets and the Lakers get together tonight for Game 3 out in L.A. It took a Jamal Murray epic fadeaway step back to get the win against the Lakers in Game 2. Do you see a path for the Lakers to win one game of this series? Last year was a sweep. Can the Lakers avoid a sweep this year?
Well, I think the Lakers can avoid the sweep. And, Chad, you know, just 48 hours ago or whatever it was, I mean, it took the largest comeback in the history of the Denver Nuggets postseason to pull that win off, combined with the first ever no-time-left game-winning shot in the history of a Nuggets postseason games. So both of those things had to happen for them to take a 2-0 lead. You do not need to squint that hard to see this series being 1-1 going back to L.A. And what L.A. has not gotten through the first two games is production from their bench. Anthony Davis has been great. LeBron's been great. In Game 2, D'Angelo Russell made 7 threes, tying the most ever in a Lakers postseason game. But what they haven't got is production from their bench. And NBA history says that role players will play better at home. So guys like Taurean Prince or Gabe Vincent, it would not shock me at all if those guys are making shots in front of that Tinseltown crowd and the Lakers find a way to steal one. But if they don't, Chad, if they don't, the Nuggets win tonight in Game 3, it will be the single longest postseason losing streak in the history of the Lakers franchise. They are the Yankees of NBA basketball. They have never lost 7 consecutive games in the postseason to any opponent, and that's what they're facing tonight.
At the hands of Denver. You can check out Zach Bye in Denver, co-host of The Drive on 104.3 in Denver. Of course, Zach, thanks so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Hey, appreciate you guys having me on.
Thanks, Zach.
Coming up next, we are going to get to your phone calls. 888-SAY-ESPN. You can keep lining up. 888-729-3776. We want to hear from you. Who was the NFL draft pick that you were most angry about at the time that your team made the pick? That's all next on ESPN Radio.
Game Deep.
The Freddie and Harry Podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The NFL draft is back. We are taking you up to it here on Freddie and Harry. Chad Brown, Jonathan Zaslow, Amber Wilson hanging out with you. We are presented to you by Progressive Insurance. The NFL draft coverage will kick off at 7 p.m. Eastern right here on your ESPN radio stations. But we're asking you, America, right now, what is the draft pick that your team made that you were most angry about at the time? 888-SAY-ESPN. Jonathan Zaslow, yeah, do you have one, a nomination here? You're a Miami Dolphin.
Yeah, I'm good at this.
Well, you're not a Miami Dolphin. I mean, to be clear, you're just a fan. You're just a dude who's watched the Miami Dolphins play football. I feel like I need to differentiate because Chad's here and, like, you know, he's actually played football. So, like, if I refer to him as a Pittsburgh Steeler, he has, in fact, been that. You, on the other hand, you've just watched the Dolphins, but who were you angry about watching them draft?
Okay. So, I forget the exact year, but we're talking, like, I don't know, it's like 07, 06, 07-ish, something like that. And the Miami Dolphins are on the clock. I think it was number 9 overall. And that was the year that one of the highly touted, we needed a quarterback. Dolphins always needed a quarterback. And one of the highly touted quarterbacks coming out of Notre Dame was Brady Quinn. All right. And he kept dropping. He kept dropping. Holy crap. He's going to be there for the Dolphins. I'm in a room. Chad, I'm in a room with a bunch of my friends. It's like 9 or 10 of us. We're all Dolphins fans. But we don't trust the organization, you know. We always think they're going to blow it. And I stood up. At this point, Dolphins are on the clock. Brady Quinn is there. And I stood up and I announced to everybody, if they don't pick Brady Quinn, I'm done with this team. And they get up to the podium. Remember, this was Joe Philbin's first draft pick as head coach of the Dolphins. And they went up there. And they selected wide receiver out of Ohio State, Ted Ginn Jr. I mean, I could have kicked a hole in the television. I was so angry. Now, of course, turns out I was super wrong as well. We were all super wrong because Brady Quinn did not amount to a starting caliber quarterback in the NFL. And Ted Ginn Jr., while not being worth a first-round pick, had a good NFL career. But
quite serviceable.
Yeah, good career. But that, to me, was the angriest I have ever been as a fan, was when they selected Ted Ginn Jr. over Brady Quinn.
Now, Chad, I'm guessing that you don't necessarily have a story to chime in here with, because I feel like former players watch these things differently. Like, are you emotional when you're watching these teams draft guys?
I am not. I don't sit and watch a draft with a Steeler hat on or a Seahawks jersey on. I don't get paychecks from those teams anymore. So I wish them all the best, but my rooting interest has changed quite considerably.
The only nomination that I would have, and I'm not as diehard as long as Zaslow is in terms of a Dolphins fan, but I am a Dolphins fan. The Pat White draft didn't make any sense.
By the way, I don't behave like that anymore when it comes to Dolphins.
You do.
That was a while ago.
You do. I can confirm. You're still not necessarily a grown man, but when we're talking about the Miami Dolphins, Pat White, second round pick, they drafted him. He played a total of like, I don't even know, so few snaps. He played.
I mean,
in
we
so
almost
few
watched
games.
Him die on the field.
And
that was
he was a buck 90 when they drafted him out of WVU. We had Chad Henne and Chad Pennington on the roster. It was so much dumb that they went ahead and even used a second round.
Parcells thought he was so slick drafting.
Right. Because it was the Wildcat. It was the whole Wildcat era. So we're like, we're going to bring in this guy and he's going to, and then, you know, he gave us like 5 snaps or whatever he gave us in his career. 888-729-3776. Rob is calling us from Cleveland. Rob, thanks for the call. Who were you most angry about?
So in the 2014 NFL draft, Cleveland had the 4th overall pick. And weeks leading up to the draft, all the sports talk radio stations in Cleveland were talking about, do the Browns take Johnny Manziel? And as I remember it, the town was kind of split 50-50. Some people were saying, yes, we need him, and others were saying, no, don't. It's not worth the headache. And I was fully in that second camp. I did not think he was going to ever amount to anything. I thought he was just a flash in the pan. Being in the NFL, being in the AFC North, you play in cold weather. You need those big, strong, tall quarterbacks like Ben Roethlisberger. And I didn't think he was going to cut it. And the fourth overall pick comes up, and Ray Farmer trades it to Buffalo, and we ended up taking Justin Gilbert in the eighth pick.
Thanks for the call, Rob. Appreciate it. 888-SAY-ESPN. Chris is calling us from Syracuse. Chris, who were you most mad about?
2005, first year Nick Saban. And we got the number two pick, and they pick Ronnie Brown instead of trading back because we need a QB. And we could have taken Aaron Rodgers that year.
Well, I remember with that one, it was a lot of Dolphin fans wanted Braylon Edwards. Braylon Edwards went the very next pick. I think that Cadillac Williams went number five, you know. I can't get upset about that as a Dolphin fan that they didn't take Aaron Rodgers there because, like, every other team in the first round passed on Aaron Rodgers. You know, it wasn't a sure thing that Rodgers was going to be so amazing. Alex Smith went number one, and then no one else wanted Aaron Rodgers until Green Bay, 20-something, you know? So I can't get nuts about that.
Well, and that caller wanted us to trade back in order to get, like, not even take Aaron, but trade back and then still take Aaron Rodgers, but it just shows how he was slated in that draft. I can't get too bent out of shape about that, John.
Yeah, that one feels a little bit like revisionist history. Like, were you really honestly that high on Aaron Rodgers? Are you looking at it now through the lens of 2024 when Aaron Rodgers is going to be a Hall of Famer and Ronnie Brown was a good running back, but not a Hall of Fame style running back? So I think there's a difference between being honestly, genuinely mad in the moment and then also having the ability of hindsight 15 years later to go, oh, that pick was wrong. Because hindsight's always going to make it much easier to know what we should have done with that pick 20 years ago.
Yeah, like how Zaslo nominated a pick that ended up actually being right in hindsight. But at the time, you're so angry. That's what we're really looking for. Even if you end up being incredibly wrong. 888-SAY-ESPN. Todd is calling us from West Virginia. Todd, thanks for the call. Who were you mad about?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. So, quick background. I'm 12, getting ready to turn 13. A Washington former Redskins, now Commanders fan. We've been to four Super Bowls. We've won three of them. And in 94, we have the number three overall pick with that heavy of a defense. And Joe Gibbs had proved you don't need a quarterback with his system. And we take Heath Shuler.
He turned out to be a decent politician, I suppose.
Yeah, I was going to say, he went on to have a career in something else. Maybe not football would be at the top of his resume anymore. That's a funny one. That's a throwback. We'll continue throughout the show to get back to this subject at 888-SAY-ESPN. But coming up next here on Freddie and Harry with Zaslo, Amber, and Chad Brown filling in for the guys. Is drafting a quarterback the absolute biggest risk that you can take in all of sports? We're going to see several teams do just that tonight. That's next on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Freddie and Harry podcast on ESPN Radio. You can also listen to Freddie and Harry live weekdays from 3 to 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on Sirius XM Channel 80. You can also watch and listen on the ESPN app. The Freddie and Harry podcast.